Put on the full armor of God, so that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil.
Welcome to Rock Power. Rock Power is the radio ministry of Rock Power Church. We are located just west of Fluor Drive on the corner of Southwest 30th and Park Avenue. This ministry is dedicated to the proposition that the Bible is God speaking to you, that God never changes, that the Holy Spirit never changes, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that there is only one church and one church age, and that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And as He, Jesus, is, so are we in the world. And the world is in desperate need to see the church in manifestation in the earth. Not in the power of politics or in the power of words, but in the power of His Spirit, moved and motivated and controlled by love. Because the world is in desperate need to see the manifestation of the sons of God. This week we're going to be looking at the fear of the Lord, the key scripture that we want to work off of for these series of lessons on the fear of the Lord is found in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. And it says, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire." And we'll keep referring back to this scripture throughout this series of lessons. Yesterday we began to look at what gives a man the fear of the Lord, or how do we get the fear of the Lord. And I said that two men in the Bible who exemplified that were, first of all, Job. In fact, God twice said, "Have you considered Job?" A man who fears God and eschews evil. So we know that Job feared God, and that made him a great man in God's eyes. What else would God be looking for? Somebody with the biggest brain? No, somebody that fears God. And then the second man that exemplified it, and there are others, and we'll mention them too, but the second man who not only exemplified it, but talked a great deal about it, was David. Solomon talked a great deal about the fear of the Lord, but he didn't have it. David had it. Where did David get it? Well, David sought it. David prayed. But I want to give you one key here today, which we began to talk about yesterday, and that is meditating in the Word of God. Joshua said, "The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate." And it's the Hebrew word haggah, and it means to speak to yourself. "You shall meditate therein day and night." What's going to be the result of that? "That you may observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Being a doer of the Word comes from meditating in the Word. It doesn't come from willpower. It doesn't come from an anointing. You know, God anoints people to preach the gospel, but He doesn't anoint people to live the gospel. But if you will meditate in the Word of God day and night, think about God. Meditate on His works, on His greatness. Meditate on God. The result of that, I believe, will be the fear of the Lord. I want to read you some quotes by some pretty outstanding men who probably will make the revised edition of Hebrews 11. When we get to heaven and they open up the revised edition, you probably find some of these men in it. Jonathan Edwards, most famous American preacher. "For the vanities of the world, you have neglected reading, praying, and meditation." Puts meditation right there. "For the things of the world, you have broken the Sabbath. For the world, you have spent a great deal of your time in quarreling." But I want you to see he talked about meditation. Jonathan Edwards and George Whitefield ushered in what we call the first great awakening. George Whitefield said, "Holy and frequent meditation is another blessed means of keeping up a believer's walk with God." He went on to say, "Prayer, reading, and meditation," says Luther, he quoting Martin Luther, "make a minister, and they also make a perfect Christian. Meditation to the soul is the same as digestion to the body." Jonathan Edwards and Whitefield ushered in the first great awakening in 1740. The second great awakening was about 100 years later, 1840, ushered in by Charles Finney. Finney mentioned meditation more than any other writer I found. He mentioned it in Praying Always, in the Prayer of Faith, in The writing's called Bound to Know Your True Character. The spirit of prayer to win souls requires wisdom and prevailing prayer. Charles Finney said, quoting what was going on in one revival, he said, several other persons during the revival had gone into the grove and there by prayer and meditation given themselves to God. John Wesley said, have some time every day for reading, meditation, and prayer, and actually employ that time in the exercise for which it is allowed. D.L. Moody, in his book called Secret Power, said, now if you will notice, wherever there is a Bible-taught Christian, one who has the Bible well marked and daily feeds upon the Word by prayerful meditation, he will not be easily offended. I'm certain that Jonathan Edwards, Charles Finney, George Whitfield, D.L. Moody, and John Wesley are in a book somewhere in heaven, aren't you? I'm certain. And they all talked about meditation. You know, our greatest example in the Bible, the one who talked the most frequently in the Bible about it, was David. David talked about meditating day and night. I don't know about you, but I've always been just quite taken by David's love for God, David's understanding of God, and David's walk with God. And I'm certain that meditation played a part in that. You know, he talks about it quite often, how he meditated on thy precepts. I meditated on God. I meditated on thy works. I meditated on all these things that God did. Psalm 33 says this, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loves righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together as a heap. He laid up the depths in the storehouses. And now he says, let all the earth fear the Lord, and let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe. Notice how he was talking about praising and worshiping him, and then he begins to talk about God. He loves righteousness, and the Lord made the heavens, and all that he did, and he ends up standing in awe of God. David talks about how God laid out the heavens with his span.
A span is the distance between your little finger and your thumb as it's stretched out.
When God laid out the heavens, you know, drew up the heavens, I'm going to put this star over here and this star over there. There's a lot of light years between stars, but God measured them out with the span of his hand. What does that mean? He's got a big hand. The arm of the Lord is not short. Think about the way you get the fear of the Lord is to meditate. I believe one way, the way they got it, I believe, is to meditate on God. You remember we talked about Charles Finney when he was talking about winning souls. He talked about the laws of the mind, and he talked about thinking about the lost. But you see, if we fear the Lord, obeying the Lord is just the natural step. The things Finney talked about, people don't want to think about those things. You remember when I read that list, why I thought we'd have to get out the smelling salts. Nobody wants to think about those things. But it's wonderful to think about God. And then when you think about God and get the fear of the Lord, obeying Him and doing His will and being led by the Spirit will be a natural outgrowth. I'll give you an example of that. Revelation chapter 2. He said, nevertheless, I have this against you. You've left your first love. Well, our first love is Him. Therefore, very next verse, therefore, remember from whence you've fallen and repent and do the first works. Loving God will lead to good works. Loving God, fearing God, will lead you to obey God and to want to serve God acceptably. Jesus didn't have to work at obeying God because he feared God.
But he did have to work at fearing God.
Before he ever did anything, he already had the testimony that he pleased God. So it wasn't his works that pleased God, it was him that pleased God. He didn't say, this is my beloved son, I'm well pleased in his works.
If he wasn't well pleased with him, he couldn't be well pleased with his work. The works aren't first, but we tend to put them first. We should have got the job done, but the church should have got the job done by now. The world ought to be saved by now. Paul just about did it himself. Charles Finney, everywhere he went, there was revival. Everywhere. Beginning from the first day he got saved. He went out into the woods to find God. And when he came back, they had a revival in his little town that night. The Bible talks about the fear of the Lord fell on the people. I'm talking about in the Bible. You know, something fell on people in the Great Awakening in the days of Jonathan Edwards. Something got on people. And it spread from one county. Somebody went to this county, and they went back to their county, and it got on those people, and it spread. And it hit Philadelphia, and Benjamin Franklin wrote, when it got there, he said, "It seems as if every man's mind is on heaven." But Jonathan Edwards said, "People came to Christ like dew on the morning grass." And Jonathan Edwards preached the fear of the Lord. Then he preached the fear of the Lord. I see a common connection there. And you know, they preached other things that were exact opposite. But they had the first and second great awakening. One was a Calvinist and one was an Arminianist. They were at opposite ends, but they preached the fear of the Lord and they had faith. If we would meditate upon the goodness of God, remember the laws of the mind, Finney said that you could have revival anywhere if you'd begin to think about the plight of the lost. But obviously nobody wants to think about the plight of the lost. We don't want to think about those things. The thing is to think about God, and then you'll do the works of God like Jesus did. Jesus' delight was not in seeking and saving them that were lost. It was in the fear of the Lord. His life was not animated by what he was going to do. It was animated by the fear of the Lord. You see that? What he did, we look at what he did, but not why he did it. I'm going to tell you, no Volkswagen bug will ever win the Indianapolis 500 or any NASCAR race. No Volkswagen bug. Why not? Because what it is, it can't get the job done. It's not the little train that tried. It's be the little train that cried because it didn't get the job done. It won't. We've got to get this fear of the Lord. The Bible talks about Enoch. All we know about Enoch was he walked with God and God took him. But Hebrews said he pleased God. What pleases God? The fear of the Lord. Before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Enoch didn't do any great exploits that we know of. He didn't open the Red Sea and raise the dead and quench the roaring fires and close the mouths of lions. He walked with God, but he pleased God. Amen.
If this message has helped you, awakened you, alarmed you, or blessed you, and you want to share that with us, you can email us at rockpchurch@aol.com or write to us at Rock Power Church, 3119 Southwest 30th Street, Des Moines, Iowa, 50321, or come see us Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Wednesday evening at 6:30 p.m., or Friday evening at 6:30 p.m.